Aren't you proud of these young people? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm proud that they've been listening. Amen. Who's your one? Maybe I ought to be preaching on who's your one. Now, this is probably going to be the shortest sermon you've ever heard from me because I didn't know I was going to preach until I got here. So it's going to be a neat day. But it's great to see you in God's house this morning. And I hope that all of us are concerned, listen carefully, for one. Boy, if you can't get a heart just for one, is there room in your heart for you to pray for one person? Amen? So that's how it all starts. This whole emphasis is about simply praying for your one. And I wish that skit would have gone on because... Come here, Sam. Come here. I want to present Sam Puglio with his certificate of baptism because he got saved here a while back and he was just baptized. So let's complete that skit. Amen? So there's the skit completed because, hey, he did it. I'm proud of you, Sam. Amen. And, you know, I think that came natural to you, Sam, that you're like, I don't want nothing to do with this. But God got a hold of Sam's heart. And I have seen a change in you, Sam. I've also heard some things about you. I'll tell the whole church. I heard your grades went up since you got saved. I have. Amen. That's awesome. When you start living your life the right way, what does God do? He blesses. So now he's over there blushing, and your face is about as red as your hair. But anyway, what a blessing these young people are. Let me say to you, all of you, I really think you're the greatest group of young people. I mean, you really, yeah, you are. You're very loving. You're very, you know what I love about you, all of you? You speak to me. I really appreciate that. You take time and you'll come up. Yeah, yeah, you got a heart. And even Hunter here, you know, Hunter loves his pastor. He's always telling me, I love my pastor. I appreciate that, Hunter. So I love all of y'all. I really do. You're some great, great kids. And I enjoyed my time with you that few summers back, and I see God doing something. Where I'm really proud of you is what you've named yourself. So I thought, well, I'll preach on that today. Rooted. Because, you know, the whole church needs to understand what the scriptures have to say about that. Before I do that, though, I need to say this. Homecoming was a good day here in our church, okay? And, you know, something that probably one of the most embarrassing things that could ever happen to a church is that you never have enough food. Well, guess what? For some reason, this homecoming, we had more food and more meat than we've ever seen. Sherry wasn't feeling good last weekend. I got to tell you this story because it's right funny. And she had bought some chicken and she was going to cook it. You know, that's the Baptist bird. And she didn't feel like cooking it. She said, well, go to KFC and just get a bucket of 12-piece chicken. I did. I got a bucket 12-piece chicken. All right. Came home. I thought, well, that's good, 12. All right. So I get here, and someone has purchased a box of 100-piece, and I stick my little 12-piece beside their 100. I felt really inadequate with my chicken. So anyway, but I appreciate, I say that to say this, how you all participated and were a part of it, and did Real Truth Revival bless us or not? Man, that was some group. I want that tenor to come back. Him and his wife had a baby, and he couldn't be here last Sunday, but we need to get him to come back. Now he's had a baby, he can sing even higher, okay? So Colossians chapter 2 is where we're at, Colossians chapter 2. Let me give you a little background. Oh, by the way, before I do that, I keep thinking of things. Next Sunday, we're going to do our pack and pray over the shoeboxes. And that's the due date. So please get the boxes here so we can pray over them. And we'll have a great time doing that next Sunday. You've seen some of the wonderful videos that we've shown about how these boxes are used of God. And inside your bulletin is a little journey on where that box goes, and what a blessing that is. We had the chance last Tuesday before the crusade with Franklin Graham to meet with him, and he talked about Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham organization and how they have joined together and united to share the gospel. And he was talking about how these shoeboxes really are the They really do make an impact. They're the real deal. So thank you for being a part of that ministry. Okay, if you got your Bibles now, Colossians chapter 2, we'll start reading with verse 6. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired word. Okay, Colossians 2. These are some great verses. So if you don't have your Bible, listen carefully. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So that's going to be my first point. We got to walk the walk. If we're going to be rooted, you got to walk ye in him. All right, here's the key verse to this ministry. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as ye have been taught. That's going to be my second point, that we've got to walk in the word. If we're going to be rooted, we got to not only walk the walk, we've got to walk in the word. He says, you are established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therefore with thanksgiving. And I believe that's all about worship. So we've got to learn something about the importance of worshiping today. But now Paul is really dealing with the meat of why he wrote this whole book. There were Gnostics. Anybody know anything about Gnosticism? It was all about, their belief was, you know, it's all in your head. You know, it's all about knowledge. It's all about philosophy, wisdom, and so on. He says, beware in verse 8. This is a good word for the youth. This is a great word for young people today, especially going to college. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I pray today that your word will take root in our hearts and our lives and will never be the same. I pray for your spirit to be here today teaching us your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned, Paul's writing to these Gnostics. The term Gnosticism is derived from the Greek word meaning knowledge. And the Gnostics believed that all the secrets of God were in the mind or appeared in an immaterial identity, and that the possession of knowledge was the only requirement of salvation. They separated matter from thought and did not attribute humanity to Jesus Christ because they considered material things to be evil. They ignored or diminished the significance of the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus as not being real, but simply just apparent. This is why Paul stressed that in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in him bodily, in bodily form. Paul's emphasis is on being rooted and built up, and not to allow the vain philosophies and the traditions of man to deceive you. I think about even in the church, how it's so easy for us to be deceived with our traditions. The seven last words of a dying church. Well, we've never done it that way before. You know, I mean, you can die in your tradition. You can die in your religion, really. And that's what dealing with here. So let's deal with it. And I want us to think about not only our student ministry, but the question is, are we really rooted? You could be a senior citizen and not be rooted. And what's going to happen to that tree? Not rooted. That tree's going to fall over, right? So here's the key to understanding this. The more roots you have, the stronger you're going to be. Amen? And so God wants us to be well-rooted. Number one, grounded in our walk. You see that in verse 6. What did he say in verse 6? He says that as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, he's saying you've received Jesus, so walk the walk. No, don't just talk the talk. It's easy to talk the talk. Number one reason that young people, and this is happening throughout the Southern Baptist Convention, throughout our nation and all churches, that after they graduate from high school, they don't come back to church. You know why? They don't see people walking the walk. Number one reason, that's what the young people are saying. I visited a man this week. He said, you know, preacher, I would love to come to church. I really would. But I have a problem with the people who are at church today because I don't see them walking the walk. That's what he said. I'm quoting a person who visited our church. He said, I'd like to go to church. I know I should go to church. But what bothers me is that people don't walk the walk. Now, of course, the answer to that is to make sure that you walk the walk. Amen. I mean, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. And of course, I did say to that man, I pray that I have enough boldness to answer him the right way. Well, my dear friend, the only person you will ever have to stand and give an account to before God is you. So don't let any hypocrite keep you out of church. And the church is full of hypocrites. It is, because you know why? None of us are all that we think we are. Hello? Let's get honest and get real. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus. So I think the first step, of course, is walking in the Lord. He said, walk ye in Him. Listen to me carefully. So the first question mark I always have in my mind, do you really know Him? Because I believe if you really know Him, you're going to want to walk in Him. Amen? You're not going to have to be persuaded. No one's got to beg you to come to the youth meetings. Because you know Jesus. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. I'm not doing this out of tradition. I'm not doing it because mama and daddy told me to come to church. No, I'm doing it because I'm wanting to walk in Him. I love Jesus. Amen. Couldn't you see that in Sarah as she sung this morning? I saw it in her. Man, I thought, I wish she was my daughter. I mean, you know, I'm proud when a young person is excited about who Jesus is in her or in him. You can't begin the Christian walk until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is not a Savior. He's not a Lord. He is the Savior and He is the Lord. And there's no other way that man can ever be right with a holy God but through Jesus Christ. You can try to look like a Christian. You can talk like a Christian and you could even act like a Christian. But you know what? That acting business won't get it. It's got to be from your heart. You know what I love about Sam, and I didn't know I was going to pick on you today, Sam, but you know, Sam told me one day in my office, he said, Pastor Ronnie, will you just give me some time? Because Sam told me, he said, I don't know Jesus. And he had enough honesty and boldness about himself. He said, and I know I'm going to hell. He told me that. And here's what I told Sam. I said, Sam, I can give you all the time you want. I just don't know how much time you have. And so I didn't, and Sam, you can go up and talk to him about this. I never pressured Sam. I never pushed Sam because I knew something about Sam. Unless Sam came to Jesus because Sam, oh, I almost fell there, Brother Sam. Because if Sam didn't come to Jesus for any other reason but that he wanted to come, he would come for the wrong reason. It's got to be real. It's got to be in your heart. Not because the preacher's trying to help you or your mom and dad's trying to help. It's got to be real. And let me tell you something, folks. Jesus is real, and He really will save you. He really will. He will transform your life. But the key is this. You got to make sure that you're in Him. I'm not up here just preaching, folks. This is not just going through the motions. It's about a relationship. That is learning to walk the walk. You walk in the Lord. Second of all, and this is important for the young people especially, learning to walk in life. Walking in life. Notice what he says in verse 7. I love this, young people, and you picked this out. I don't know how y'all came up with this, but I love it. Rooted and built up. The word walk here means living. It is a metaphor for living life. Rooted is an agricultural word. And the tense of the Greek means this, once and for all, having been rooted. In other words, Sam, once you invite Jesus in your heart, He comes to stay, okay? You don't have to keep asking Him to save you over and over and over again. Because the meaning there, once and for all, having been rooted. And then build up is an architectural word. And it is, in the present tense, being built up. Rooted means rooted like a tree, and a tree is a living thing. The root is where the life is. Your life is not to be lived as a tumbleweed with no roots. In fact, Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You are to be rooted in life. And let me tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're rooted in Him, you will grow. Are y'all listening? You will. You say, well, I see so many people who never are discipled or it's the church's fault. No one discipled them. Look up here at me. No one had to tell me when I got saved, honestly, I'm just being transparent with you, that I needed to be a disciple. I just started following Jesus. You know what a disciple is? The word means a pupil, a student. And I started studying God's word, and I started growing in the Lord. And you know what? That's the key. There's that want to. Not that I had to, but I wanted to. And that's what he's saying here. He has done his work. That is, the word rooted there is that he has done a work in your heart. And that once and for all having been rooted, once and for all, that decision is made. And it lasts because Jesus is eternal. And he's not an Indian giver. He will never take this salvation away. But listen to this. You do grow in the Lord because it's in your heart to grow. You have a hunger and desire for spiritual things. Listen to this. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The word abundant means life to the very fullest. I'm asking you, is the genuine life of Jesus Christ manifested in you? When God the Holy Spirit came to live in your human spirit, the human spirit speaks of the mind, emotion, and will, and it motivates your body, and you're going to walk as Jesus walked because he is your life. That's what justification really is, that we have been made like Christ. And because he is our righteousness, we are right with the Holy God. But not only walking in life, but walking in love. You see, now listen, look at this, the last part of verse 7. He says, in him. You see that? He says, rooted and built up in him. That's not the last part, but the end of that first phrase. Rooted and built up in him. Well, let's talk about who he is. He is love. To be in him, listen, young people, listen, Sam, listen, Sarah, to be in love is to be in love with him. Oh, I touched a nerve. Everybody's got a smile because boys and girls think, oh, if I could just find the right him. Well, if you got Jesus, you got the right him. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to teach you something I hope lives with you forever. You'll never have a better relationship with any boy or girls unless you're rightly related to him, Jesus Christ. And girls, you'll never have a right relationship with a girl unless you're rooted in him. Do I need to get in your face? I mean, it's so easy for us to move into this infatuation. I've been there. The hormones get strong and you start fanning. You say, woo! Boy, Sarah, she just, I just love Sarah. But it's got to be about Jesus. And when you're right with Jesus, then you can be what you need to be with Sarah. Preacher, you've carried it too far. But everybody knows. That's the daddy of the daughter. Anyway. Getting hot up here, Sam. I'm talking about when you're in love. Don't choke, Sam. But when you're in love, you all right, son? When you're in love with him, that makes everything else right.
Yes, it does.
Okay? Are y'all following me? Because you see, the Bible says, not Ronnie, the Bible says in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him also is to walk in him, even as he walked. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. People who say they know God and don't walk in love do not know God. The Bible makes it extra clear in 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Without love, you do not know God. But if you are in him, then his love will be in you, and you will have right relationships with other people. Amen? When that love is right with God, then you will have a right relationship with the right guy or the right girl. Okay? And it won't all be about, if I just could see him today, or if I could just see her today. No, I just want to see Jesus work, what Jesus can do. I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about what love is all about, really, because we don't really know what love is until we meet Jesus. I mean, we're not capable of love. I know y'all look at me like, what? No, we have an evil nature. We do. We have a mean streak. We do. He called it terrible twos. No, he's just a little devil. I mean, you know, it's a matter of coming to Christ and you receive a new nature. And that new nature is, what is God's nature? But the love. I didn't know I was going to stay on that so long. Sam says, move on. So anyway, not only are we to walk the walk, we're to be grounded in our walk. We're to be growing in the Word. Billy and Ruth Graham, I've followed that ministry all my life, and I've helped in these crusades before, and what a joy it was to be with Franklin Graham the other night. But Billy and Ruth Graham were driving through, this is a true story, a long stretch of road construction and encountered numerous slowdowns, detours, and stops along the way, and they didn't think they'd ever get through it. Finally, they reached the end of the construction and smooth pavement stretched out before them. And this sign caught Miss Graham's attention. End of construction, thank you for your patience. She commented that those words would be a fitting inscription on her tombstone someday. Well, she died. And it's nothing fancy. It's at the Billy Graham Library. It's just a rock. And guess what the rock says? End of construction, thank you for your patience. Now, what's that got to do with what I want to say? Well, number one, we need to be rooted in the ways of God. You see, the way I look at Billy and Ruth Graham, they were rooted in the ways of God. So he says, as you've been taught, rooted in His ways, as you have been taught in the ways of God. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But I want you to just do me a favor, and I want to let one of the young people read this, maybe. Someone that has their Bible with them. Psalm 78. And I want you to read verses 1 through 4, okay? Because I think it'd be better coming from one of our young people or one of the youth leaders. So get ready to read that. Psalm 78. I want you to understand what is happening here today. It's very important that this happen. Who has their Bible? You got it, Jonathan? All right, stand up and read that, brother.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done.
That's some powerful scripture. What are we supposed to do but let these young people be a part of everything this church is doing? We're to show these young people the way of God. And you know why? Another reason, I read this recently, that this generation is leaving church because they don't see the ways of God. They see the ways of man. They see what man can do in a church. But there's not many churches out there today that you see the ways of God. I'm talking about where God is at work and He's changing lives. I mean, on a weekly basis, and you're seeing the movement of God, the Spirit of God moving in the lives of the people. That's what that scripture is saying, that the generation to come, they need to see God working in us. And you know what? These kids, they can't worship, and I'm fixing to close with that, any better than they see us worshiping. You know, we're proud to see them standing up for Jesus. They need to see us standing up for Jesus. Rooted in the ways of God and then rooted in His work. That's what Jonathan just read in verse 1. We will not hide them from our children, but must tell a future generation the praises of the Lord, His might, the wonderful works that He has performed, rooted in Christ and not polluted by the confusion of this world. Henry Blackaby wrote a great book a few years ago. I believe it was based on Revelation, titled Flickering Lamps. And students who grew up attending church are leaving in droves once they graduate. Why? Because many of them are not experiencing God's power in the church. They listen to the adults discuss organization and programs and potlucks. But what about God? Where is God working in our midst? Do they see? Do they walk out of church on Sunday morning and say, what a mighty God we serve? We don't just sing about God. We don't just know Him in our head. We know Him in our hearts and in our life. You see, that's what Paul is addressing here. You Gnostics, you've just got God in your head. You need it in your life. You need it in your life, in your heart. That's what matters. People see a weak church and assume the church serves a weak God. Folks, let me tell you something. The church is to be a mighty fortress for our God. We're to be soldiers of the cross, not a weak army. We're living in the last days, and these young people are being tossed to and fro whatever wind of doctrine. They're about to be exposed to something that I've never been exposed to, really, somewhat. This is how I was exposed to it. So I took a geology class at Campbell University, and the professor gets up and says this, "All right, students, today I've got to teach on evolution, and I don't believe a word of it." I like that kind of teaching. Amen? He said, "I got to teach it, but it's a bunch of baloney. Once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail stuck in. Then I was a monkey in a bamboo tree. And now I'm a professor with a PhD. Oh, God help us. If you believe you came from a monkey, maybe that's why people act like monkeys. I don't know. But friend, it's just a theory. But if it was true, why haven't we evolved into something better than we are? I mean, God help us. We're living more like the animals today. God help. We're living in an evil time. So my question is, how can we help our young people? Well, I'm fixing to help you, all right? And I know you're going to think, well, he's just preaching. No, I'm not just preaching. It's about like the story I heard about this preacher. He was preaching and he saw someone back picking up people's purses and pocketbooks and the coats, and the guy left. And while he was preaching, he was saying, well, someone's taking your purses and your pocketbooks and what you've left back there. And he just kept preaching. Well, after the service, people said, "Everything we have brought to the church, it's been stolen. What happened, preacher?" He said, "Well, I told you that someone was stealing your purses, but you didn't believe me." They said, "Oh, we thought you were just preaching." I'm not just preaching. We need to be grateful. And by the way, this attitude will get you far in life. Grateful in our worship. Okay, so we not only do we need to be grounded in our walk and grounded in the Word, we need to be grateful in our worship. Oh, my dear young person in church, there is only one worthy of worship. Paul is saying, do not bow to this world, do not bow to the flesh or to the devil with their vain philosophies and their deceit and the rudiments, the ABCs of a world system that teaches salvation by knowledge. Paul said, don't you fall prey to that. You've been called to a higher calling. So let me give you that. I want you to hear this calling. He says, abound therein with thanksgiving. We're called to the call right now. Now, in this hour. And you know what? Satan will do everything he can to distract us. I mean, he don't want you to worship God. I'm going to tell you what happens when you worship God. It's like you are transformed from glory to glory. I'm telling you something. When you get your focus off you and you get your focus on him and you gaze upon the glory of God and who he is and all his glory, and you begin to think about the wonder of God and you begin to think about who he is, friend, I'm going to tell you something. It will transform you. It'll change you. You know what? It needs to be said about the adults in every church that the young people see mom and dad with tears streaming down their eyes. That the little kids are watching you like hawks. They read you. It's a good thing when those tears are running down your cheek. It's a good thing when the kids see you getting emotional about God. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, I'm so embarrassed about raising my hand. Sherry loves football. I couldn't help but think the stadiums were packed yesterday on the TV. I mean, 110,000, 192,000. And here's how they did the whole time in that football game. I was watching, I think it was the Florida game. You know, the Gators, they were doing this. You know, the whole time, you know, like a gator. I thought, boy, if I could get people clapping their hands in church like that, praising God. The Bible says if you've got hands, praise the Lord. Thank God we got some hands to praise him. And you know what? I'm never going to be ashamed to lift my hands for the one who lifted his on the cross of Calvary. Now you say, preacher, that's just getting a little bit carried away. If you can get carried away over a blooming football, I mean, even Sherry. Now, Sherry's a godly woman. But I try to tell her, Sherry, I want to get you excited about worship like you get excited when the Georgia Bulldogs, and they beat the tar out of Tennessee yesterday. Woo! Yeah, and that's Sherry. Woo! Woo! She sounds like an eye. Woo! Every time there is a touchdown. Woo! I'm thinking, I read the back of the book, and Jesus made the touchdown of all touchdowns. Woo! Amen. Hey, I've read in the Bible where it says he died on a Friday, but on Sunday morning he got up from the grave. Woo! I tell you, I serve a Savior who has the power to change and transform the youngest to the oldest. And while the world is trying to pollute you and they don't care a hoot about you, you get rooted. Rooted in your walk, rooted in the Word, and rooted in your worship. And your life, whew, glory to God. I believe maybe I'll not ever prepare for a sermon again. That's our calling. Your purpose, are y'all listening? Your purpose for living is to give God glory. Amen. That is your purpose. And if you don't know that, you will have to turn to drugs and alcohol and sex. You're going to have to. You got to have something to worship because God created you to worship. And that's why a lot of young people, they get mixed up, y'all. I'm telling you right. I said I'm telling you right. Oh, this boy. Oh, I finally met the boy of my dreams. Really. I'm one. And boys, most time, are up to no good. I'm one. Oh, yeah. If you love me. No, if he loves you, he will respect you. Amen. You're looking at a pastor that I can say this as a young person. I saved myself for marriage. I did. I was a virgin. You know why? I wanted to marry a virgin, and I did. I wanted to marry a girl that was just for me. He said, "Preacher, you're really getting serious today." I am serious. Don't let some boy or some girl destroy your life. Worship the Lord. Let him be the Lord of your life, and you'll be happy. He wants you. Hey, who came up with the idea of marriage? God did. Oh, yeah. And here's his plan. And we're on YouTube. One man, one woman, one life. That's it. That's God's plan. You say, but preacher, you got all these out here, you know, and TV is teaching, talk about pollution. There's a lot of pollution. That's why I want to get you rooted. Well, you know, we've got to accept folks. God doesn't accept them. No. Wait a minute. He says it's an abomination for two men to be in a relationship. That's an abomination to God. And if it was God's plan that there would be an Adam and Steve and no Eve, guess what? None of us would have been here. Right. Amen? Amen? Not one of you would have got here. In fact, no one would have got here. It had just been Adam and Steve. But there was no Adam and Steve. There was an Adam and Eve. You got to make it plain. You know why? Because today it's polluted. Well, it's okay. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, have we ever had same-sex relationships come into this church? Yes, we have. And guess what? We're going to love them. Amen. We're going to point them to Jesus. Amen. And you know what? I hate it. I don't want it to happen this way. It offends them. But I'm going to love them, and we're going to point them to Jesus. Amen. Because you know what? They've been blinded by the world. They have. Don't you get blinded. You say, well, you're so mean-spirited. No, I'm not. I'm showing love to you here today. This is God's way. And the only way God's going to show his blessing and favor. Then there's the caution. Not only the calling, but the caution. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not of Christ. We want to be rooted, not polluted. The word rudiment means one of a row or series. Philosophy simply means to love wisdom. The problem is the answer to the problem of life are not found in the Gnostic beliefs of rudiments. That is 1, 2, 3. People say, well, it's in human wisdom. Christ is the answer. The Gnostic knew about God, but he didn't know God. Don't let any man, don't let any professor, any college, any university pollute your mind with traditions and theories and half-truths. Today, many are polluted and others don't give a hoot about what happens to you. I had a professor my first year in school. He said, I don't care a thing about one of you students, and I don't care whether you graduate or not. That's what he said. You know why? He didn't. He just didn't care. He said, I don't care whether you fail in my class. I don't care whether you come to my class. Because you know what? Once you go to college, you're on your own, buddy. You know, you got to decide, okay, what are you going to believe? And I hope you'll never forget that you grew up in a ministry called Rooted, and you were rooted in Christ. So I'm going to finish this way. We're complete. I'm done. He says, and ye are complete in him. I said, and you're completing him. I don't know. I wish I could remember the song y'all sung this morning about how you see yourself. But I want you to see yourself in this light. He says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Precious friend, you can go deeper into Jesus, but you'll never go beyond Jesus. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus completely and totally. You can't improve on Jesus Christ. Listen to me carefully, and I'm done. He says in verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Students, here's the original rooted translation. This is the, if you were to study the Greek language, here's what it says. You are ready for the voyage of life in him. Isn't that a wonderful way of understanding life? Because, you know, I think they're going to sing this song, and I have no idea what the words are, about ocean. Is it ocean or oceans or something like that? Oceans. Well, let me tell you, life is like an ocean. It's full. And it's so easy in this life to be full of self and full of sin and full of Satan. And we see the results of what happens when your life is full of the world. But what if you were to find yourself, yeah, you're still in this ocean, but you find yourself full of God. Listen to me. Because the storms of life are going to come either way, right? But there's only one that I've ever read about who can speak to the wind and speak to the water and say, peace, be still. And that's what he's saying to you today. You may, a lot of young people do this. A lot of adults, I would say the majority of adults in this church, that's why they want to help you. They had to go all the way around the world to come back to where they needed to be in Christ. In other words, they went out and they tried the world. They tried like the prodigal son. They tried all the things of the flesh, all the things of sin, all the things of Satan. Yeah, thank God they came back to Jesus. Amen. But why don't you just stay with Jesus? Amen. Why don't you just stay rooted in him? Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Let's be complete in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the completeness that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't need to go out here searching and looking for it in the love relationship of some boy or some girl or something of this world, some sin, some addiction that will try to destroy us. Certainly Satan would like to rob these young people of their life while they're young. But I pray today in the name of Jesus that the roots that they are seeing grow in their life will get stronger and deeper and stronger and deeper so that when the storms of life come, Lord, the tree of their life will stand. And I thank you for the cross that points these young people to the tree of all trees, the tree of life, the one who died on that tree, who gives life. And I pray there's someone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They'll understand that that letter T in the word rooted is pointing people to the cross. And it's the cross that causes us to be rooted. Because of the cross, we can find a relationship. We can have a relationship in you. And I pray today that someone will come to that cross and find their completeness in you. Maybe they've been searching all over, but today I pray they'll come to Jesus who died on that cross for their sins and they can be made whole and complete in him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing.